Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. My name is Giacomo.
And I'm Danny.
And this is our 55th episode.
Hey, guys, this is Danny from the future. And I just wanted to let you know before we get into this episode that something happened with the microphone and there's like a wavy, vibrating kind of sound in the background. It was in the microphone. I cannot edit it out. But I think that if we were to re-record this, it just wouldn't be as real. So thanks for sticking through this episode. We will get that mic fixed. So what you guys don't know is every single time we record a podcast episode, Giacomo insists on starting it the exact same way, and it drives me absolutely bonkers, and I say no, we will not be starting this episode that way. But today, because we have been gone from podcasting for quite a while, and because of the theme of today's episode, I'm going to let him do his normal intro.
Yes! All right, everybody. So it's been a while that since we've recorded an episode. And yeah, you know, there's just so much that's happened and I kind of miss doing this. So why don't we just lead with that? Danny, what have you been up to?
Do you feel good?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got it out of my system.
So this episode is literally about where we have been for the last 6 or 7 months at this point. We more or less fell off the map in terms of podcasting, in terms of creating YouTube content, and a lot of our like posting in general. We just really, really slowed down on. And we did touch upon it in a couple of posts here and there, but we didn't really get into exactly what it is we have been going through since October. And I think it has been so life-changing, I guess, that we have to talk about it before we get back into our regular content. I don't think we have any kind of a choice. At the very least, we owe you guys some kind of an explanation as for where we've been and what we've been up to, but also I think it's changed us enough so that it needs to be spoken about.
Late October of last year, in an overnight fashion, we wound up taking in and living with our niece and our nephew. They're very young. We're talking an infant and a toddler. Desmond and Daisy are their names. And it pretty much changed our lives. And I feel like it's changed the trajectory of our lives and us as people forever.
Yeah, so we're not going to get into like all of the details because, you know, it's a personal family matter. But the short version is that Giacomo and myself, we volunteered to take Daisy and Desmond in, and we love them to the ends of the earth. We have since the moment Daisy was born, and Desmond was born in May of last year. And there's nothing that we wouldn't do for them. So when a situation arose, we said, of course we'll take them in. And we did. And it was a very, very, very quick thing. Like, you know, a matter of baby-proofing our house in like 2 hours and setting it up in a way that they could come here. And I think we knew it would be hard. We were under no illusion that raising two children was an easy thing to do. But it was far and away the most difficult challenge that Giacomo and I have ever faced.
Oh, yeah. You really don't know who you are, is what I've come to learn. I thought I was okay, and I thought I knew who I was, until I was faced with the challenge of having tiny humans.
That's humans, for people who are not from New York City. With an H.
Humans. Tiny humans basically depend on me for their every need, their emotional needs, their basic needs, and everything in between. And to literally see these tiny humans absorbing the world around them and trying to basically shape their own reality, and then relying on the adults around them, Danny and I, to help them with that, there's really no words that I can use to describe it. It was just like a very...
But we're going to try for the next hour, so don't worry.
Yeah. But my point here is it was life-changing, in short. And I feel like it changed me as a person. And the whole experience was very eye-opening.
So some of you guys know and some of you guys don't, but Giacomo and I are deliberately child-free. We decided years ago that we did not want to have children. And that was kind of that. We both agreed on that for a plethora of reasons that are not worth getting into on this podcast at all. But that doesn't mean we don't love kids. Obviously, we both do love kids. But the point was, our life has very, very, very much so been designed as two adults without children who work from home and who travel usually multiple times a month all over the country. So it was an enormous shift in the way we had to live our lives. And essentially, we had to kind of bare bones it. Like, anything that wasn't absolutely 100% priority had to be put on hold. It had to be put on hold. And that includes this podcast. So that is the very short version of where we have been since that happened. So the podcast had to be put on hold. Our YouTube channel had to be put on hold. Like, creating content in jet. What? You want me to, like, look nice and take pictures of myself with food or exercising? No, that was not about to happen. And it was a really hard thing for us to realize that we actually do have limits, as it turns out. And those limits are named Daisy and Desmond.
I always pride myself on having, like, more energy than the average
40-year-old man.
Soon to be 40. Stop aging me, Danny. And I have come to realize that I do not have as much energy and patience as I thought that I did, actually. And, yeah, one of the last things I held on to towards the tail end of this six-month period was, like, I'm going to keep training because I'm going to be competing. I'm going to keep training because I'm going to compete. And then as soon as I realized that competing was just not in the cards for me, it was really hard to even hold on to being able to lift a dumbbell. It got pretty challenging.
Yeah, because Giacomo was planning on competing, we really prioritized his training over my training. And that was hard to deal with. Like, there was not enough time in the day for both of us to exercise. And, you know, I conceded my training early on. I said, well, if one of us has to train, like, it's going to be you. Not that that didn't produce a little bit of bitterness. It certainly did. But very early on, I realized that there was no time to train. So training kind of went out the window. Nutrition? I don't want to say it went out the window, but it was not the beautiful, structured way of eating that we normally do. Giacomo did a better job with that than I did. But again, he was in the early stages of a contest prep, which is no longer to be because of so many factors, not limited to the pandemic we're in the middle of right now.
And not to go off tangent here, but, like, as soon as this thing hit, Danny was like, I knew it! I've been preparing for this my whole life!
The pandemic. I was not preparing for two children.
Right. It's like one or the other. It can't be both people.
Yeah. So, I mean, our training took a hit. If I gave you a list of things that didn't take a hit, that would be significantly shorter. So, obviously, we devoted 100% of ourselves to making sure that these children's needs were met. And then, you know, that also includes providing for them. So our work, we still worked full time, but working full time from home with two tiny children from home, as much of the world is learning right this very moment, mm-hmm. is really freaking hard. It borders on impossible, really. Like, Giacomo and I, at one point, we were just, like, living in shifts where, you know, Giacomo would take care of the kids and work for the first half of the day, and then we'd switch. Giacomo would take care of the children in the morning, but then I would wait. I would be the one to take care of the babies, like, feedings overnight. I mean, it was crazy. And I'm sure for so many of you people that have kids, you're, like, sitting there like, ha, 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 listen to these two fools. Yes, having kids is hard, but, you know, most people who have kids, one, they want it. Two, they plan for it, and they prepare for it for 9 months, and they usually start with one at a time. So, I mean, this kind of came at us sideways from all directions. And again, we volunteered ourselves for this because that was far and away the best option. But, you know, we learned a lot very, very quickly as two people that basically knew nothing about babies, certainly nothing about babies, to suddenly have a 5-month-old in our care was very, very, very challenging. So all we really kept up with was the kids and our clients. So, like, our actual, you know, our profession. Like, we do the podcast because it's fun and we like to engage in the community and we like to give back information and teach people. But our job is coaching. Like, that's our full-time gig. So, yeah, we had so many other parents reach out to us and offer their support and check on us, because I think new parents go through this a lot, actually. You know, I've had so many clients start families while they were working with me, and it's like a 180 on their life, and that's something that I always knew, but to actually experience was kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's one thing to be able to empathize with someone to the point where you literally feel like you're in their shoes and you feel what they feel, and it's entirely something else to be able to reflect on a personal experience where you're literally doing something very similar. You're raising kids, in essence. And it's given me a whole different set of lenses and a way to relate to other people in a way that I never thought that I'd be able to. There was always that part of me that was like, well, you can't really tell a parent, well, yeah, you know, I have animals, so I'm technically raising, you know, dogs, or they're my fur babies. But, and I was always kind of like, well, I just can't go there because it's, you know, maybe I feel like it's the same.
It's not the same.
Not even close.
It's not even remotely the same. We have 2 dogs and 2 cats, and we've had them since before Giacomo and I even met. And it is not even remotely the same. Maybe when kids are older, they get easier. I don't know. Like I said, it was a 5-month-old and a 3-year-old. Or an almost 3-year-old when she came here. But, whew, it was the first time in my entire life that the saying, where there's a will, there's a way, just did not seem to be true. And that was really, really hard for me. It's like one of my core beliefs is, like, when you want something badly enough, you can make it happen. And I wanted nothing more than to have some kind of balance where, you know, we could work and take care of our clients, take care of these kids, eat well and train. And we could not keep those balls in the air for more than like 2 days at a time. And that we were like high-fiving each other about. So, I mean, the insight into the life of new parents with small children was something that I don't think many deliberately child-free people will ever get to experience. And part of that's because they don't want to experience it, right? You know, everybody's entitled to have children or not have children. But it's not an experience I ever thought that we would get to see the other side of that coin. And I think it was like day 3, we were both just sitting on the kitchen, literally day 3, day 3, sitting on the kitchen floor, just staring at each other like, what have we done? what have we done? How do people do this? Why do people do this? Why do people want this? Which is something we say in jest, even still. Like, people do this on purpose. Can you believe that? You know, I don't want to paint this all bad. There are joys that we had with the kids that we also would. There's no possible way you can put it into words. It's like the hardest friggin' thing in the entire world, and it is also so rewarding on so many levels that it's inexplicable, really. So I get it. It's still not a choice I would make for myself, but I get why people would do this, and the bond that we have developed with Daisy and Desmond is something that will, you know, that's gonna last forever. Those kids mean the friggin' world to us. You know, and the other thing was we didn't know how long we were going to have them for. And that put a big question mark over everything. Like, was it going to be for a week? Was it going to be for a few months? Was it going to be, you know, for a couple of years? Like, we had no idea, and we were willing to stick it out no matter what. And obviously we still would, you know, hopefully the situation doesn't arise again. But if it ever did, obviously we would do it again. But to see, like, oh, sometimes there isn't a path right now to the thing that you want to do.
And when there isn't a path, what do you do, basically? It's kind of hard to not just sit there and be apathetic and just let life and time pass you by. And that was what I felt was an ongoing challenge on a day-to-day basis. On a day-to-day basis. And then I would just, like, snap out of it, and I would tell myself, well, you know what? Just because you don't have answers right now doesn't mean you can't move with this situation. Doesn't mean that you can't still find ways to feel yourself and to take care of yourself. And that was kind of just what would come to me after the whole, like, well, what have we done? And all the regrets, you know, would come to the surface. And I'd have to just be like, all right, well, we don't know what the answer is now. And even after the fact, where we sit here today, we don't know what the answer is for the future. But there's no like need to grasp at straws and be like, oh my gosh, I need to do everything, you know, that I couldn't do. Or even when we were in the middle of this experience with our niece and nephew, there came a point in time where I said to myself, all right, well, there are some things that I can continue to focus on that nothing could ever take away from me. You know, I can find a way to be active. I may not be able to lift weights, but I can go out for a walk once a day, for example. I can find a way to eat healthy. I may not be able to pay attention to how much protein I'm getting in or how much food I'm eating, but I could eat fruits and vegetables every day. And I can drink water and stay hydrated every day. So it's like you focus on the things that you can control, and you build from there when your world changes that much. And those are the kinds of things that kept me put together.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing. I had to come up with a list of non-negotiables, and that's how I thought of them, as like non-negotiables. No matter what happens today, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And a year ago, my non-negotiables were like, I'm going to hit my macros within a 10-gram window, and I'm going to get my training in 5 days a week, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Let me tell you, that list got a lot smaller and a lot simpler. So some of my non-negotiables were, I hit 10,000 steps a day, every day, which is actually kind of, that's more than I would normally hit. But guess what? When you're running around chasing kids all day long, you get a lot of steps, as it turns out. So that one was pretty easy. Staying hydrated, like Giacomo said. Also taking my medication. As some of you guys know, I'm on medication for endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's actually just birth control, which is kind of ironic given what we're talking about right now. But I can't miss that, or I'll have a flare up and it will be very painful. So making sure that I got that in every single day. And then, yeah, my macros were pretty shite, if you will. They were all over the place, but we did make concerted efforts to eat lots of fruits and vegetables. And not just us, you know, for the kids as well. We don't want to just eat junk with little kids watching all the time. So also, anytime we could incorporate the kids into something healthy or fun, we would try to do that. We would have dance parties with the kids. That got a lot of movement in. Daisy, the older one, she would love to come into our home gym. And sometimes if Desmond was taking a nap and Daisy was awake, we could take her into the gym with us, and she loved going to the gym. And she had her own special set of 1 pound dumbbells, which she calls muscles. And she would literally just say, I'm making muscles. We're making muscles together. And yeah, really, really, really cute. Some, you know, not the most effective workouts, but any workout felt like an addition to nothing rather than a subtraction from my previous 5 days a week. Does that make sense? It's like every good habit was like putting coins in a piggy bank.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the one thing that I did outside of being physically active that kept me sane was when I would go to put Desmond to bed, I would basically take him along for a ride when I did my mindfulness practice, when I did my meditation. So he would just start walking around the house, and that would be like how I'd rock him to sleep. And I would just meditate and focus on my breathing. And it seemed to, or at least to me, it seemed like it helped relax him and put him to bed. And for me, it helped me sort of decompress, relax, control my breathing, and clear my mind. So that was a daily ritual of mine that actually helped. You know, sometimes we feel like we need to do things alone as individuals to have a sense of self. And what I've learned is that you can do things with others while still taking care of yourself.
So it, as of today, it's May 1st. The kids went back with their folks, I want to say on like April 3rd or something like that. So I'm happy to report that they are happily and healthily with their parents. We see them, well, we FaceTime them pretty regularly. We are trying to take them an overnight once a week. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but we're trying to, you know, still see them as much as possible. Made much more complicated by the fact that we are now in a global pandemic. So just to step back for a minute, I want to paint a big picture for you guys. So the kids came here in October. Our lives literally flipped on their heads like that instant, like almost instantaneously. We were like, oh, our life is very different. And then just as we were starting to get like a solid routine down, you know, we found a great daycare for Daisy, and Desmond would go like once a week or so, and they were, you know, making friends and getting really solid in their routine. And then the world shut down. I want to say it was like March 9th here in Massachusetts. Things started closing. Daycare closed. And now our routine, which was finally becoming productive again, just stopped. We were just like right back almost at square one again. Like, what are we going to do? And then on top of that, we couldn't even do other things like take the kids to a playground or help them get their energy out. And then when they were able to go back with their folks, Giacomo and I came back to our quote-unquote normal life 6 months later into a global pandemic where the entire climate of the country, the world, really has changed. And now we're trying to find new normal in that. And I certainly don't think we're in any kind of a special case. Everybody is going through this right now, going through the quarantines and the lockdowns and the thinking about what the world is like now, but it's like we had already been more or less beaten to a bloody pulp before this happened. So that this actually feels great, to be honest. This feels fantastic. Everybody else is like getting super, super down, as you rightfully should, but this is actually a step in the right direction for us right now. But even that has been like such a bizarre thing to wrap our minds around.
I almost feel like you had a little bit of guilty indulgence into observing how everyone else was being affected by the quarantine life, because you didn't have a chance to really absorb it because we were just so busy in our own little world.
Well, I mean, I can't say how we would have responded to it if it started when we didn't have the kids, because we did have the kids, but there was this whole other layer of anxiety of trying to keep them safe too, and also trying to keep other adults safe from the kids. Like my mother, their Grammy, was here a lot to help us, but her husband's in a high risk category, and then you have a little girl who essentially would, like, you know, lick a railing because she's three and she doesn't care. Eventually we got her to understand that there's a virus and we have to be careful. But I mean, it's just this whole like, oh, okay. So on top of just trying to understand how to explain the regular world to babies, now we have to explain a world in crisis in a way that makes sense to toddlers. It was intense. But no, I don't think I took any joy. Certainly I didn't take joy in watching the rest of the world go crazy. I was super enthralled by it as it played out in the beginning because it was just like the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we were both pretty excited to be able to have our hands in the mix and see what we can do to help others out because we had gone through so much and we were just like on the sidelines being like, oh my gosh, these are the kinds of things that we could engage with others in and help them with as far as like their life changing. And
yeah, we did. We felt like our hands were kind of tied because once everybody had to start working from home and training from home and sorting through this massive life change, right, that everybody kind of went through at once, Giacomo and I are sitting there looking at each other like, we have so much information and tips and tricks and insights that we could offer people right now, but we can't because we don't have time because we are working full-time and taking care of two children full-time.
But yeah, thankfully, we've been doing what we feel like we've been able to do, which is hopefully be there to help and serve others that are going through some shit, basically. That's what we've been doing with most of April, and it's nice to be back here. And
well, after at least a few days of just sitting still and licking our wounds and looking around and reassessing the state of things, I would say we did that for a couple days.
I can't even remember. Was it pizza, though? Was it pizza? Lots and lots of pizza.
We ate all of our feelings in pizza.
And TV. Did we watch TV?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think it was TV and pizza. It's all over.
Well, you put on Ozarks and promptly fell asleep, so.
I watched it eventually, but anyway.
When the kids did go back to their parents, of course, we were very, very happy for them to all be together. Of course, that's what we've, you know, wanted for them all along, but it was also very heartbreaking in many ways. You know, kids have a way. They have a way of worming their way into your hearts and becoming such an important piece of the way that you view the world and the way that you view yourself. That suddenly to not have them here, our house felt so empty and so quiet. And we just let ourselves feel that for a few days. Like, even talking about it now, I'll just start crying.
Yeah, it's odd. It's odd to want it and then to also, like, feel the downsides of your world changing back to the way you want it. But also that, like Danny said, that feeling of emptiness and, you know, and loneliness in a sense. And just wondering if they're, you know, how they're doing, if they're all right transitioning into their change of environment and whatnot.
Yeah, it was the weirdest feeling I've ever felt to not want to give them back so badly for my own selfish reasons, but then also to desperately want my life back at the same time. It was a very bizarre, complicated series of emotions, I guess. And I really, really want to thank, there are some people who, listen to this podcast, I believe, certainly, you know, follow us on social media and are friends. I would absolutely call you guys friends at this point, not just people who listen to our podcast, but there were so many people who did reach out to us and check on us and see how we were doing and offer tips and kind words. And so many people sent like Christmas presents for the kids and clothing for the kids, and sometimes even like food. Like the Jenny, who owns I Am a Cake Baker in Amesbury, Massachusetts, literally would like give us food sometimes, and it was just so overwhelming to see how many people cared about what we were going through enough to help. Like, it was you know, faith in humanity restored is what I'm saying here. And, you know, if you're those people and you're listening to this, like, that is something I will never, ever, as long as I live, forget those folks. So.
Thank you.
So where do we go from here, Jackmo?
That is
a good... Jackmar?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think...
What's different? What's new? We're in the middle of a pandemic.
I
think a lot of people are reevaluating what matters and what doesn't matter right now. So, what matters?
Well, when something like this happens once every 100 or somewhat years, right? It's a reminder that the life that we design for ourselves and the way that we design it isn't it's not necessarily what grounds us and what's important to us. It makes us feel good to be able to control the variables, to be able to go to the gym and to be able to go grocery shopping without worrying about all that much, you know, having access to resources for your basic needs, right? And be able to do things the way you want to. But now we're dealing with all kinds of variables. People are going jobless, not able to go grocery shopping in a way that makes sense, you know, for their nutritional needs. You know, maybe they might miss something because it's a very stressful endeavor these days. And now we're finding out that it's not necessarily feasible for the majority of people to exercise the way that they want to exercise. So, you know, we're left with basically needing to forget everything that we know and learned and hold on to what we know is true in our hearts, which is basically, you know, speaking to our audience here, we can take care of our health and we can find a way to be active. And we may not necessarily be able to do it the way that we want to, but this way that we've carefully constructed our lives so that we can increase our performance in the gym over time and eat a certain way, that's not what keeps us grounded. It's the people in our lives. It's that we will always find a way to take care of ourselves. And the plan isn't necessarily to stick to the plan, and that goals can be moving targets. You know, I think it's easy to like take a look at things, and when the plan needs to basically be thrown out the window, be like, I got a plan. I gotta eat a certain time. I gotta train a certain time. I gotta do this thing, or I'm gonna fail, or I'm just not gonna be able to accomplish my goals. And we've had this conversation with lots of our clients, and you know, these feelings, these fears are very valid. It's scary to be in this kind of scenario where we have to accept that we have to change everything in order to keep finding a way to take care of ourselves. But once we accept that as fact, that, you know, if nothing else, life will change, we can go with the flow a little more easily, and you'd be surprised how the plan does eventually come to you instead of you trying to force it.
So, I think a lot of people are... I bet a lot of you guys have heard of Maslow? Whatever.
Hierarchy.
The hierarchy of needs. I think it's Maslow. The hierarchy of needs. A lot of us, before all of this happened, kind of operated pretty high up on that hierarchy of needs. You know, things like honing in your nutrition and your training and your... you know, what you're gonna wear that day, whatever it is, those things that we kind of focus on, it's because everything beneath that was so stable, right? I love pyramids. Jacmo knows I'm really into pyramids in terms of the way I think of how things progress. But because of this pandemic, I feel like a lot of people are in a place where they have to walk back down that hierarchy of needs and focus on something else right now. And, you know, this is a very different situation, but it's what Giacomo and I did way back in November when we realized, like, oh man, suddenly these things don't matter, but we need to walk back down to making sure we can put food on this table and shelter over their heads and safety needs. The one above that is love and belonging. So like friendship, family, sense of connection, you know, you can only focus on those things when the pieces below it are in place. So there are people all over the world right now struggling with that very bottom tier. You know, the physiological needs, making sure there is food on the table, making sure there is a roof over their family's heads or even just their heads. You know, that's something people need to focus on right now. So to guilt or shame somebody for not, like, coming out of this, speaking another language or having written a novel or something. There are people out there saying, like, if you don't come out of this with a masterpiece, then you've wasted all of this time. And I just think that is the most insulting bullshit I've ever heard. Because, yes, some people will go through this relatively unaffected. You know, they might have to work from home, but they still have their job. They're not going to lose their home or anything like that. But there are people who, you know, statistically speaking, in America, the average American is $400 away from an empty bank account. You know, that's a week. So, I mean, I just feel like you have to focus on where you are right now and know that this is not going to last forever. I mean, who knows how long it is going to last? And I think our new normal when this is over will be just that. It will be new. It will be different. But we will get to the other side of this, and then you can start walking back up that hierarchy of needs and focusing on the finer details of things again. But that's just how I am viewing it. You have to focus on what matters to you the most right now. So what does that mean for us, for vegan proteins, for our content, Jackmo?
I like how you keep saying Jackmo.
That's how Daisy says it.
Oh, Daisy. Yeah, I had a different person in mind, actually.
Hi, Jackmo.
That's very cute. You know how to play on my heartstrings, child. Well, I think right now it becomes more about real-world practical solutions as opposed to those finer details that we usually like to geek out upon.
Yes.
You know, like right now, you're less likely to see a video from us about how to have, I don't know, the right balance of micronutrients.
While you're traveling.
That's not going to happen. But you may see a video on, you know, how to train at home or how to create a structure when you're quarantined at home. You know, something that you can stick to.
I did just put out a video on YouTube last week or the week before about, like, how to regain a sense of control in your life. Because I feel like a lot of people are struggling with feeling like everything is out of their control. So I did make that, if you guys think that's helpful. We are back on YouTube already. So.
Recipes? More recipes? People love cooking.
Yeah, I think for me, I think the biggest thing that's going to change, I don't know, we'll see how this actually plays out, is I feel like in the fitness world of fitness educators, and I'll use that term loosely, there's a lot of focus on being super polished all the time. You know, posting perfectly curated feeds and perfectly scripted this, that, or the other. And it's like, I don't have time for that. And it is just not something that is super important to me. What is important to me is that my message is clear and helpful. That's it. That's really what I, in terms of our content, that's all that really matters to me, that it's clear and it's valuable. And the idea of, like, just spending a bunch of time doing, like, photo shoots with myself was not something I ever was really excited to do ever. Giacomo can attest to that. I can't think of anything worse than a photo shoot. But now the idea of, like, getting dressed and looking perfect and going in the backyard by myself and taking pictures by myself of myself just sounds like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. No shame to people that do that. That's, you do whatever makes you happy, but I just cannot bring myself to give a shit about that. I mean, I really couldn't before, but now I'm not even going to try.
So less curated photos and video and whatnot, is that what you're saying?
And you know what? That just means that we will have a smaller audience. How crazy is that? It doesn't matter how good your message is. If your picture isn't, like, perfectly posed and edited, like, it's going to see fewer people. That's just the way the world works. And that's the way the internet works. So you try to play the game so you can get an important message out there to more people. But, like, dude, the people I want to talk to don't care about that anyway. So.
Plus, there's no end in sight to that game. At some point, you just have to concede and be like, all right, this is filtered enough. Now we're going to put something out there that actually makes sense on that picture.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry for that little side
rant here, guys. I'll go with you. Don't worry.
Want to move on to questions?
Sure.
All right.
All right.
We'll move on to questions, but that's where we've been, guys. And we have missed you a lot, and we really appreciate you guys sticking around. And so many people asked, like, hey, when is the podcast coming back? So this is our first episode back. You want episodes? You got to tell us what you want to hear. Listen, we suck at coming up with these ideas ourselves. So you tell us what you want to hear, and we will make the podcast for you. Okay? Now, look, ball's in your court. What do you want to hear?
All right, moving on to our question and answer segment. How can I stop the stress eating when I have zero time to batch cook or plan or count macros?
That's a great question. That was a question I was asking myself right around mid-December. So I think the smartest thing you can do is you have to have some planning. I mean, you don't have to plan everything down to the letter, but you need to at least plan what you're going to get when you go to the grocery store. So Jackmo and I ate many a microwaved meal in the last 6 months, but just because it's coming out of a microwave doesn't mean it has to be crappy for you. I'm a big fan of steam fresh vegetables. Is it the most environmentally friendly thing in the world? Nope, it sure isn't. So, I mean, if you don't have to do this, don't do it. But if you are in a pinch, steam fresh vegetables in the microwave, at least make sure that you're getting a nice balance of fiber and micronutrients. I also am a huge fan of things like the Sweet Earth Big Sur breakfast burrito. So if you can find some frozen meals that are microwavable that, you know, do kind of hit in your macronutrient realm. So like higher protein, moderate carb or fat, depending on where you're looking for. Stock up on that. If you're in a gaining phase, you can also get steam fresh rice that's already cooked in a bag and you can just nuke it. So you can just throw it in the microwave, set the time, and essentially forget about it until you have a moment to eat. You can do things like oatmeal, fruits that don't need preparation, like apples and bananas and grapefruits and things you can just grab and go. Those would be my biggest tips, actually, in terms of if you really don't have time, and I get it now more than I ever got it before, buy products that fit within the spectrum of what your goal requires. And eat that every day. Like, yes, in a perfect world, we'd all have 2 to 3 hours. You could batch cook a whole bunch of stuff on the weekends. And if you even have 1 hour, you can put a tray of sweet potatoes in the oven and just hit start and set a timer to shut it off. You don't even have to take it out at that point, but you could just shut it off. White potatoes, cans of beans. Literally, you can just open them, drain them, and eat them. Pre-made salads can be helpful as well with a dressing that's pretty macronutrient friendly. And this doesn't require a lot of planning. If you have 5 minutes at the end of the day, you can kind of plug in everything you ate that day, if for no other reason than to get an inventory of where you're at. You might think you're eating a ton. This happened to me when the kids were here, actually. I thought that I was eating so shitty, and I thought that I was eating so much. And I couldn't understand, how am I eating so much and I'm dropping weight like crazy? I mean, I lost 10 pounds, which if you guys have listened to this podcast at all, that does not just happen to me. I lost 10 pounds while the kids were here because I wasn't tracking my food and I was so busy that I wasn't eating enough, but I thought I was eating a lot. So when I actually plugged it in one day and I was like, oh, 1,100 calories. Yeah, that's probably why I'm dropping weight so quickly. So yeah, plugging your stuff in once in a while just to get an inventory of where you're at can definitely help you. Hopefully that's helpful. Okay, what are the best spices for vital wheat gluten recipes?
This is something that I've been having a lot of fun with lately, especially with what is going on right now in the world. And even where we were at before, I found a day while we were with the kids where I was just able to get 3 hours or so to be able to cook. And honestly, I was able to cook up seitan, vital wheat gluten and vegetable broth, seitan, protein, vegan meat that lasted for like a month. And I've kept up with that habit. Something that, you know, I never really got into the habit of doing. I just knew I always wanted to batch cook and have vegan meat on deck. You know, those I always wanted to have a steady supply of my own homemade seitan. But I was able to prove to myself that I could do it while I was with my niece and nephew. And I've kept up with that after the fact. And even just with my batch just recently, I was able to get a little creative with it. So, you know, the easiest way to do it is when you take your Vital Wheat Gluten and you mix it up with some vegetable broth, boom, you have seitan, essentially. You can cook it in any number of ways. As far as seasoning it up is concerned, I think the easiest thing to do, and to play it safe, you can go with some garlic powder and some onion powder and maybe a little bit of pepper. All right. If you want to get a little creative with it, you can add some tomato sauce into the mix, or not tomato sauce and peanut butter, but separately you can add some peanut butter in. Peanut butter actually changes the texture of it. And that's one of the ingredients, that's the secret ingredient actually in the barbecue ribs, which you can see there's the YouTube recipe up for the barbecue ribs, for example. So yeah. And the other thing that you can do is try to get creative. You don't just have to use, you can use herbs, for example, rosemary, thyme, you know, any number of herbs and spices. Yeah, so you can really just get creative with it. There's no end in sight to the things that you can toss into the mix, because you're literally dealing with something that will take the flavor of anything. The Vital Wheat Gluten and the vegetable broth mixed together makes the dough, and that's it's basically flavorless, right? So you, anything that you add to it, poultry seasoning, that is a good one. When you add some poultry seasoning into it, you can flatten it up and make some, you know, vegan chicken cutlets, for example. So there's all kinds of ways that you can get creative with Vital Wheat Gluten. Hope that helps.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. If you have any questions or comments or concerns or requests for future episodes, please reach out to us. We're on Instagram. I'm at Vegan Proteins and Giacomo is at Muscles by Brussels. We're also on Facebook, YouTube. You can email us, veganproteins@gmail.com. We are everywhere, so please reach out. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Danny.
And I'm Giacomo.
And we will talk to you soon. Time in your ride of love. Just